Good morning. It is good to see you in here, at home, wherever you're joining us this morning. We are so honored to have you be with us. I know JJ already mentioned this, but I want to thank everyone who participated in our food drive and bringing boxes. This is a difficult time to pull off most anything that we try, but you have come through as a church, and it is needed desperately. Right now, there are a lot more families than even would typically we would experience this time of year who are food insecure, who need extra help. And we are grateful for the ways that you've stepped up. Now, this box drive ends today, and our offices are going to be closed mostly this week. So if you forgot, then we'll find another way to get that food to the folks. Let me also tell you that we're going to have another round of our CVC Cares initiative, which is giving money to life groups and encouraging you to use that to bless others in our community. Again, this is a time of tremendous need, and we have a chance as a church, even as we are distanced and scattered, we have a chance to make a difference in our community. And so we thank you for the ways that you continue to do that. And we want to encourage you to keep your eyes open for opportunities, whether there are opportunities that our church initiates or just opportunities in the community to be a blessing, to serve, to share, because folks are they're needing it right now. All right, I want to ask Jessica Lindley, come on up to the front for just a moment. So some of you, you're going to get to meet Jessica for the very first time. Jessica is a friend of Vicki Dilworth, and she has decided that she wants to be baptized this morning. And I'm going to take her confession before the service here, and then we'll have that baptism afterward. I had the privilege of spending some time with her on Thursday and talking with her. This is something that she has been thinking about and praying about for a while. I know she has been talking with Vicki about, and it's an honor to have you do that. This baptism is a reminder to all of us of the commitment that we have made. Mm-hmm. And the life that we're living because of God and in God. And so, as I share with you on Thursday, I'm going to ask a question that has been asked of everyone who's been baptized in one form or another for 2,000 years. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
Well, we honor that confession. We praise God for that confession, and we'll have this baptism after the service, but we're thrilled to be a part of this today.
Thank you
so much. All right, before I continue with what I'm going to say, I want us to watch a video where we have several families from our church who've shared just a little bit about what makes them thankful this time of year. Let's watch.
This year, we're thankful for getting to spend a lot of time with family.
Health and comfort with my family.
I'm thankful for getting to play lots of golf.
I'm thankful for family.
This year, I'm thankful for my friends.
This day, I'm thankful for Miss Jennifer.
This year, we are thankful for
Baby Charlie.
Health and time with family.
A job through the pandemic that allowed me to provide for our family.
Tell me something you're thankful for.
I'm thankful for my family, flowers, ladybugs, and I'm also thankful for my family because they're nice to me.
That was sweet. Winston, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for makeup and lip gloss.
Makeup and lip gloss?
And I'm also thankful for butterflies. They fly and they're sweet.
One out of two. I'm thankful for all of those things too.
This year, I'm thankful that we serve a God who is always faithful and who will never abandon us.
I'm thankful for our family and our friends.
I'm thankful for Jesus.
I thank you for Jesus and God.
Listen to the word of the Lord from Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, and 1 Thessalonians 5. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What do you say? You know that phrase that parents ask. It's a prompting phrase that you give to your kids. And you know the answer you're going for. So when your son is wearing his big boy suit, and it's even got a tie, and it's got a tie that secretly zips up, but you can't tell. Max has a suit with a tie that secretly zips up. It's genius. And someone sees him in the suit, and they say, "Boy, you look handsome in that suit." As a parent, you give that prompting question. What do you say? Or your daughter is playing with a kid, and that kid shares a toy with your daughter. And it is a big deal to share a toy when you're a kid. And so you give that prompting question. What do you say? Or you are about to eat your last bite of dessert, and then your young child sees your last bite of dessert and ask for your last bite of dessert. And you've been counting on that last bite of dessert. You have prepared your palate for that last bite of dessert. Everything about your meal has been trained on that last bite of dessert. But you're a decent human being. And so your young child asks, and you're willing to sacrifice that last bite of dessert. But you do have one question that you demand that they answer before you give it to them. What do you say? And you know the answer that you want from them. It is an answer that you're trying to instill in them, hoping that it will become a natural part of who they are. That it works its way into all things, at all times, in every circumstance. You are trying to teach them and train them. Be grateful, pay attention, take note, and make your appreciation known. What do you say? And the answer you're looking for is, thank you. And thank you for not leaving me out to dry when I asked that question. Thank you. 2 weeks ago, I preached Mary Williams' funeral, a wonderful lady. And part of the blessing of preaching a funeral is to be able to talk with the family and to hear some stories. And so I talked with Mary's grown sons, and they said one of the things that they always loved about Mary Williams is she could bring a spiritual lesson into every situation. So one of her sons shared about a time where a couple of years ago, he was complaining about the amount of taxes that he owed for that year. And she listened to him for a while, and he went on for a while. And finally, Mary spoke up. And she said, "Son, I understand. But at some point, you have to recognize you have everything you need. So think about what you've got instead of what you have to pay." What do you say? Her son's in his 60s, And he is a great man, and he's a great man of faith. But none of us grow beyond lessons for gratitude or need for gratitude, especially when we're in the midst of something that we find difficult, that we don't like very much, which is all of us over the last year, times of frustration, times of fear, times when we just don't like very much what we're going through. And gratitude doesn't sweep all of that under the rug. It simply chooses where it focuses and where our attention will be, because there is plenty of difficulty to go around at all times, not just these times. But it does us good to look for the good. It does our hearts good. It does our souls good to look for the good and then acknowledge the good and celebrate the good and give thanks for the good in all times, and especially in difficult times. What do we say? So when you look through Paul's letters, you will notice a pattern. There is almost always a section when he gives little quick bursts of instructions. And in the middle of these, you will often see that he couples several practices together that he says, you know, these are good things to do no matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances are. Pray always, praise always, give thanks always. And I started with three of those verses, and I'm going to read one more. And this was one of Mary Williams' favorites that she had me read at her service from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We know giving praise and offering prayers and giving thanks for good things we receive, whether it's from God or other people, we know that's a good thing because it shows that we recognize what they've done for us, and it expresses that appreciation. But there is so much more. Prayer and praise and gratitude in all things, that grounds us to what's important. And prayer and praise and gratitude in all things, that trains us how to see the world a little differently, and how to see our lives a little differently, and how to see things that we sometimes overlook. And prayer and praise and gratitude in all things, they give a boost to our morale. They help fuel a peace that Paul says passes, it transcends our own ability to understand or comprehend. And that kind of peace is a gift from God, but it is also something we gain as we practice, as we discipline ourselves in these things. Prayer and praise and gratitude in all things. The more we look for and acknowledge all that is in our life that is good and noble and right and praiseworthy, the more we start to experience that peace of God that is beyond anything we could have comprehended on our own. And so we realize on days like this that we don't just want to pass on gratitude to our kids, although we want to do that. But the reality is, it's something we need to keep working on and striving for ourselves, no matter what age or place we find ourselves in life. What do we say? What do you say? So that was the question I posed to Max, our son Max, one night when he was around 8 years old, and he was at, we were at one of his favorite restaurants, just me and Max, a boys' night. And Max, for those of you who don't know, most of you do, but Max is on the autism spectrum, and he has always looked a little older than he is, but he processes the world like someone a little younger than he is. So we were at his favorite restaurant, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the restaurant, but every time you enter this place, people behind the counter yell, "Welcome to David's." Okay, you may have guessed what it is. It's David's Burgers. If you've never been to David's Burgers, they're going to greet you. I don't know what they do during pandemic times. They may have to whisper it, or I don't know how that works. But when you went in, they would let you know how glad they were to see you. And David's is known for, and he loves their burgers, but it's also known for their fries, and not just any fries, but they are all-you-can-eat fries, which means they are more than any person should ever eat fries. And they'll bring them to you when they bring their burger, but long before that, they've got these large silver serving bowls that they just keep putting fresh hot fries in, and then they will walk around to all the tables. And you just sit down and they say, "You need some hot fries?" And we say, "Absolutely. We need some hot fries." And 5 minutes later, they come back. "You need some more hot fries?" "I think we do. I think we need some hot fries." And then 5 minutes later, they come back. A few more hot fries. And you're like, "Yeah, these have sat here for 5 minutes. They're not hot anymore. Put some hot ones on top of that pile of fries that we're still working on." And then they bring your burger, and there's more hot fries with the burger. And finally, you just slip into a hot fry coma by the time it's done. It's not the healthiest of meals, but man, it's good. And when you're done with the fries and you're done with the burger, which he likes, they do one more thing which most kids love. They offer some soft serve ice cream. Now, to adults, what they do is they bring a little sample size, and that picture is deceiving because it looks big in the picture, but it's a shot glass size of ice cream with a little doll-sized spoon to go with it. It's an ounce and a half of ice cream, but really that is all I can manage by the time I'm done gorging myself on fries. But to the kids, they make a special offer. Not just the sample size, but come back with us behind the counter to the ice cream machine, and you can make your very own chocolate or vanilla or swirl. And as the wait staff takes you back to the back, they will shout as you go, "We've got an ice cream maker!" And then the other people behind the counter will start going, "Ice cream maker, ice cream maker." It's a big deal. And then kids are trying their hand at soft serve, and it's a mess. And it's piling up, just this leaning tower of soft serve, but that's part of the thrill. And then you will see kid after kid parade back to their chair, just hoping that soft serve doesn't topple over, and they're eating as they go. Okay, I put together a little video just to share the rest of the story. So let me invite you to watch from here. All of that is part of the thrill here at David's. The parade, the shouts, the big thing of ice cream. Unless, of course, you've got sensory processing disorder. And then the whole thing is a little overwhelming. And we didn't understand that at first. And so when they would ask, Max would kind of shrink in fear and he would be frozen. He wouldn't do anything. They'd say, Mom or Dad can go, and that wouldn't move the needle. They would say, Sister can go, and that wouldn't move the needle. And finally, we started to understand what was going on. And so I developed an answer I would get every time. I didn't want to over-explain it to a perfect stranger, so I would just say something like this. He would love an ice cream cone, but that whole thing, it overwhelms him a little bit. Would it be possible for you to make it? And so this young lady was really nice. Of course, she'd be happy to make it. She went back, made the most amazing, towering, swirling ice cream cone, brought it to him, and he ate it in that random fashion where he takes a bite on the side and then a lick at the top and then back over on the side. You never know how he's going to eat it. After a while, he finishes the ice cream cone, and it's time for us to go. And so I leave a nice tip on the table to show her how much I appreciate what she's done for us. And as we're about to leave, she comes back to us and asks if there's anything else we can do. And this young lady had served us our 87 servings of fries, brought the hamburger, made the ice cream cone. And so after she asked, I asked the prompting question to Max. What do you say? And Max looks at her and he steps in, gives her a big hug, takes a step back. Steps in another time, gives her a big hug, takes a step back, and then he says, I love you. Now that was not the answer that she was expecting. And that wasn't really the answer I was prompting either, although I wasn't totally surprised. This isn't the first time when a perfect stranger has done something really nice for Max when he's ended up telling them, I love you. But what do I say? Do I correct him in that moment? Hey, buddy, you really don't love her. You shouldn't say that. Or do I offer some sort of correction to the lady? He doesn't love you. I'm sorry he said that. That may have been awkward. The reality is, if I take seriously the passage that we've looked at for so long in 1 Corinthians 13, then Max is the one who's right in this story. Gratitude is appropriate in all times, in all circumstances. But love is the most excellent way. You take everything that makes us followers of Jesus, you boil them down to some of the pillars of who we are: faith, hope, and love. And hands down, the greatest is always love. When we got back in the car, two things happened. My heart swelled with pride and joy, and my heart broke just a little bit as well. And those of you who know me, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that tears streamed down my cheeks as we drove home, because I'm not naive. I know that as we move into adulthood, it becomes awkward and off-putting to give perfect strangers a hug and tell them that we love them just because we appreciated the way they served us hamburgers and French fries and ice cream. I know that that just doesn't fly in our world. But the reality is, I think I would like to live in his world a little more often. I'd like to live more in the world that Paul has been painting for us in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to live in the world that Jesus imagines in the Gospels, the world he lived for and died for and rose again to create. We are still working to teach our kids gratitude in all things, in every circumstance, because the reality is we're still working on that ourselves. I need to grow in gratitude in every situation. But truth be told, while I'm still trying to teach gratitude, I hope my kids, I hope my son continues to teach me about love, not the easy kind of love, to people who are like us, to people who live with us, but the challenging kind of love. Love to stranger. Because when you boil it all down, the greatest is love. And when we get that, when we get love, then we begin to grasp the life and the world that God is desperate to create.